wonder if you can imagine with me for a moment a particular scene. I want you to imagine that you are taking a walk, okay? You're taking a walk, and it's a really nice day, okay? It's a really nice day. It's so nice that the temperature is just right. It's just right for you. You're not cold, you're not hot, you're not worried about sunburn, it's just right. And there, as you're walking, you're looking around, and as you're looking around, you look at the trees, you think, yeah, that's a nice tree. You look at the sun, you think, yes, nice sun. And you're just enjoying this walk. You're walking the right temperature, and it's just right. And then as you're walking along, somebody pulls up alongside you, and you say hello. And they say hello back. And you start having a conversation with them, and you're talking about how you're enjoying this walk, and you're saying how it's just right, and it's a beautiful day. And then as you're walking, you realise, oh, you've been terribly rude, you haven't introduced yourselves. And so you ask the other person, say, oh, excuse me, what's your name? And he replies, the name's God, Creator God. Can you imagine what it must have been like in the Garden of Eden to be walking with God, talking with God? Just imagine for a moment. The temperature is just right. Everything that you see is perfect. There's nothing wrong. And your Creator God is walking and talking with you. Just imagine that. Just imagine that. To be able to be in the presence of God. The God who flung the stars into space is walking with you. That would be amazing, wouldn't it? To be with God. Psalm 84 looks at what it's like to be with God. Now we're going to turn and read Psalm 84. Your church Bible, it's page 526. Psalm 84, about being with God. Psalm 84. The blessedness of dwelling in the house of God. To the chief musician, on an instrument of Gath, a psalm of the sons of Korah. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. O God, behold our shield, and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he uphold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Now seriously, can you imagine walking with God? literally in the Garden of Eden, you were able to walk with God himself, talk with God himself. I sat and read this Bible overview with Elijah the other day. It's one of these flip books where you see the first page and then you flip it over. On the very first page, God with man. And it keeps on going and it keeps telling the Bible story, and then you get to the point where they're cut off from the garden, banished from the garden. And I was like, okay, we'll stop now. Do that another day. And he's like, through a tantrum, wanted to carry on. But can you imagine having the joy of being with God in the garden and then to be cast out? Then to be thrown out. But then to have a psalm like this, which says, you can be back in the presence of God. You can enjoy being in his tabernacle, God dwelling with man. That's amazing, isn't it? That God still chooses to want to dwell with his people. The God of gods and the Lord of lords, the Lord of hosts. You see that phrase, the Lord of hosts there in verse 1. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. How lovely is your dwelling place. How lovely is your temple, O Lord of hosts. Who is the Lord of hosts? Well, in 1 Samuel, the Lord of hosts is repeated over and over again. Well, what does it mean by the Lord of hosts? Well, have a think about this. Who's the Lord of hosts? The Lord of the angelic beings. The Lord of the universe. The Lord over all things, the Lord of all, is willing to dwell with you. That's amazing, isn't it? The Lord of hosts, the Lord of all things, is willing to dwell with sinful human beings. That's why the psalmist says, well, how lovely is your tabernacle? The furnishings of the tabernacle. The holy place, the holiest of holies, the glory of the way it was furnished, the gold. How lovely is it that God wants to dwell and be with his people? The temple where you would go and you would make sacrifices. And let me read to you what it was like to make sacrifices. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 4 to 7. God says that, Don't worship me like the other people do. Don't go and build altars and Asherah poles and all that. Don't do that, but do this. You shall not worship your God with such things like that, but you shall seek the place where the Lord your God chooses out of all your tribes to put a name for his dwelling place, and there you shall go. There you shall take your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, the heave offerings of your hand, your vowed offerings, your freewill offerings, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks. And there you shall eat before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice. You shall rejoice in all which you have put to your hand, you and your households, in which the Lord your God has blessed you. That was what it was like to meet with God. It was a time to rejoice, to be glad, to be thankful for his goodness. And the psalm just says, that's amazing. That is amazing. That the God who made all that, you can go and be with. And you can rejoice with him. And Psalm verse 2, my soul longs. Here's the psalmist saying, well, that's how amazing it is. My soul longs. Yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. I long to be there. I long to be with God. I long to enjoy him. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Can I ask you a question? Does that sound like formality? It doesn't, does it? My heart longs to be with God. I cry out for him. Even faint for him. It's that kind of language saying, my whole person wants to be in the presence of God. This whole desire is driven by this wonderful object. It's not just an object. It's God himself. God is to be worshipped. That is what the psalmist longs for, God himself. Can you imagine if you read the psalm out again, just those first few verses, and instead of some of the words that are there being mentioned, imagine some of the words were removed, and imagine it said this. How lovely is your tabernacle. My soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts. My heart and my flesh cry out. Imagine that's what the word says. And you forgot about the Lord of the hosts. You forgot about the Lord himself. What would your worship be like if you went to the tabernacle and you saw all the furnishings? You saw the gold, you saw the incense and smelt it. You saw the big purple curtain. You went to the holiest of holies and you thought, oh, this is wonderful. And yes, you were there longing to be there. You travelled. And yes, you were really passionate about being there. But there was no Lord. There was no Lord. It would be lifeless, wouldn't it? It would be lifeless worship. You see, where there is no Lord, there is no life. Where there is no Lord, there is no life. You know, it's entirely possible for Christianity to become lifeless. It's entirely possible for Christianity to become lifeless. It's entirely for the good things of Christianity to be good. But they're lifeless. Imagine that we enjoyed sermons, but we didn't enjoy God. It'd be lifeless. Imagine it was the music, but there was no Lord to worship. It would be lifeless. Imagine going through church life and serving in this way and doing the tea and coffees and doing the youth work and doing time to talk and handing out Christmas invites, but there was no Lord in it. It would be lifeless. You see, without the Lord, there is no life. Without the Lord, there is no life. And here in the psalm, the centerpiece, the attraction, is to be with God himself. Are you here this morning for God himself? Are you here this morning for God himself? You know, there's another way that Christianity can become lifeless. I was once invited to a party. It was a birthday party. There was lots of people there. Quite a lot, actually. I asked what was the dress code. They said black tie. So, as you can see, I'm not really a black tie person. Don't do ties. But anyway, I made an effort and I wore a suit and a tie. Turned up to the party. I'd been tricked. I was the only person in the party wearing a suit and a tie. Felt like an absolute idiot. Felt completely uncomfortable. Completely out of place. And I really didn't enjoy the party to the fullest extent. I really didn't enjoy it to the fullest extent. Bit of a lifeless party for me. You see, sometimes we can come to a place. We can say that we want to come to church. We can be at church. We can read our Bibles. But sometimes there's just something about it that feels out of place. There's just something about it that feels uncomfortable. There's just something about it that just doesn't make sense. And you're there at church, or you might have read your Bible, and you're thinking, yeah, I'm at church. I'm singing these songs. Do you know what? I'm just not sure I'm going to go to heaven. It just doesn't make sense. I'm just not sure if God will accept me. I'm just not sure. As in, it just feels a bit empty. And as you stand up and you sing a hymn, it just feels like routine. And as you read your Bible and you pick it up, and it's just a chore. And as the time comes to go to church, you think, well, I'm probably not going to go this week. And there's just a sense that you're not enjoying it to the fullest extent, because it's uncomfortable. Because you feel out of place. And do you know why the reason why you might feel out of place? It's because you're not at home. You're not at home. You don't feel like you're at home. You know what home is like? Home is the place where you genuinely know, well, you've been away on a really nice holiday, but you all know it. When you come back off the plane or you come back off the boat and you're on the M4 and you're heading back to Clydder, you really are looking forward to being at home. You're really looking forward to kicking back and having your proper cup of tea. You're looking forward to your own house, even though you've been away somewhere really nice. See, that's where home is, where you feel comfortable, where it feels right, where you feel assured, where you feel protected. You see in verses 3, this is what home is like. This is what it's supposed to be like. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my God and my King. See, it's only, you can really only say you enjoy being with God when being with God is like home. Being with God is like home. The verse is saying that there, the tabernacle, there, the temple, you know, the sparrows found rest there. The swallows found rest there. They made the home for themselves. But you know what makes God's people's home there? It's the altars. It's the altars that make God's tabernacle home. It's the altars where you would have placed your offering and blood would have been shed. It's the altar that makes being with God like home. It's the altar which says, God will accept me and will accept you, even though we're sinners, even though we've messed up, even though we rebelled. And he'll say, come and bring your sacrifice and come and rejoice. And you know what? He doesn't say to us anymore, come and bring your sacrifice. He says, no, I've made the sacrifice for you. My son has died for you in order for you to be at home. Can you say this morning, my God and my King? You know when you're at home, when you can say in verse 3, my God and my King. You know, it's a wonderful thing, isn't it? That is what God wants us to be like. He wants us to enjoy being at home with him. He wants us to be able to say in a very personal way, my King and my God. There are no restrictions. There were restrictions back then. The Levites who would live there, who would be there. And there were others who would have to travel to the tabernacle, have to travel to the temple. Yet for us, we don't have to go to a temple. We don't have to go to a church building. We don't have to go to a tabernacle. But God dwells in us. God dwells in us. His Spirit lives inside of us, making us feel at home. There are those also that back then had to travel to see God. Verses 5 and 9. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. Whose heart is set on pilgrimage. Here's a person of God that really wants to be with God. His heart is set on travelling to go and see and experience and to rejoice and to take the sacrifices and to enjoy God himself. That's what they'd have to do back then, to travel. They were commanded to. And here's the psalmist saying, well, there's strength for this person who wants to make this journey. Now, none of us are called to go and travel. We don't have to go abroad. We don't have to go to Mecca. God is with us. But we're all still on a journey, aren't we? We're all still on a journey.
But think about this person's journey. As they travel, as they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. Can you imagine what this language is talking about? It's as if they're going through this valley of Baca. We don't really know what it is. But imagine a valley of Baca where there's not much there. It's a bit dry. It's a bit arid. A few shrubs here and there. But what does God's strength make that journey like? It's as if that journey is, that valley has got a spring. It's well watered. The rain covers it with pools. And even on a difficult journey, there's strength. There's comfort. There's hope. You see, the Christian life is a journey, isn't it? The Christian life is a journey where you have a destination. And what the psalm is saying, that if you set your heart on God, then he will strengthen you through that journey. If you set your heart on God, he will strengthen you through the journey. And no matter what your circumstances are like, the difficult ones, those dry patches in life, God will be with you. God will strengthen you. God will comfort you. We've all been through those times, haven't we? Those dry patches, those difficult times. Yet if we have our heart set on God, then he'll be with us. He'll make that dry land as if it's fully watered. He'll make pleasant any difficult circumstances. Notice the psalmist is not saying you can skip aside the valley. He doesn't say you can get round it. No, he says, as you go through it, it'll be watered. God doesn't promise that he will make your life easy. He doesn't promise that he will make everything straightforward and painless. But he does say, as you go through the pain, then he will be your strength. As you get closer, you will be strengthened and strengthened. Let me read the hymn that we'll sing later. A pilgrim in a desert land, I wander far and wide, expecting I may sometime come close to my Father's side. Ahead of me I think I hear sounds of a heavenly choir, a conquering host already gone through tempest, flood and fire. Come Holy Spirit, fire by night, pillar of cloud by day. Lead, for I dare not take a step unless thou show the way. So prone am I when on my own to stray from side to side. I need each step to paradise, my God to be my guide. I have a yearning for that land where thee, a numbered throng, extol the death on Calvary in heaven's unending song. See, what gives us strength and strength and strength as we have our heart set on this pilgrimage? What happens? Verse 7, each one appears before God in Zion. Each one of those pilgrims will get there. They will stand and appear before God. Whatever your valley of Baca is, if your joy is in the Lord, if your heart is set on him, you'll one day appear with him. We're not talking about a temple. We're talking about seeing God face to face. We're talking about being with him. We're not talking about the Garden of Eden. We're talking about being surrounded with a great number of hosts, with people from every tribe and tongue and nation, and being round the throne of the Lamb forever and ever. And God will get you there. God will get you there. Notice else the psalmist, he prays for protection for the anointed. He prays, verse 8, O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, O God, behold our shields, and look upon the face of your anointed. He prays for the king who's ruling at that time, you know, pray for safety so that we can get to meet with God in the tabernacle. This is the most important thing. Pray for safety so that we can get to meet with God himself. The anointed one the king of the land at the time. When you think, who is the anointed one today? Well, Jesus Christ, the anointed one, is not ruling in some locality, in some kingdom somewhere on this earth, but he's seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. And you know what? He prays for us, for protection, so that we one day will be with him in glory. Isn't that worth praying for? Isn't that worth praying for? That we would be looking forward to that day when each one appears before Zion. I don't say this as a joke, but if we're Christians, are we looking forward to dying? Are we looking forward to dying? Are we looking forward to leaving this and being with God forever? You see, in verses 10 to the end, the psalmist knows just what the answer to that question is. Even a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. Even one day in the presence of God is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wickedness. I'd rather have that one taste and that one glimpse of God himself than have all the pleasures that the world can offer. Are you looking forward to being with God? Are you looking forward to leaving all the stuff that the world has to throw at us and being with God? I'm sure you've all got lots of photos. I'm sure you've got lots of photos of your family. You've got thousands now of Elijah. Thousands. Snap happy. But you know, I would trade all those photos to be with my son. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you trade all those photos of your family, all those memories, just to be with them? You know, one day in the presence of God, better than anything else. If you're thinking, well, but hang on, those other things do matter, and yes, they do matter. Our jobs matter. Our cars matter. Paying the bills matters. All those things do matter. But look what he says. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. He's a sun. What is the sun? But the sun is a giver, isn't it? That's what the sun does. It gives. It gives light. It gives the stuff. I'm not a scientist or a chemist. It gives the stuff for the plants to grow. It's a giver. God is a giver. But he's also a shield. What does a shield do? It protects. He gives and he protects what he gives. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. He won't give you everything, but he'll give you everything that you need. You see, let me ask you, what is our priority here this morning? What is our priority in life? Is it to dwell in the courts of the Lord? Is it to be with God himself? Is it to enjoy God himself? Is it to say, how lovely is your tabernacle? Is it to walk uprightly and enjoy his presence? Verse 12, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Happy is the man who trusts in you. If there's ever a time, and we all have it, even me, we all do. If there's ever a time that you get down and things just seem to be bumbling along, why not turn to some of the Psalms and look at what it is to be happy once again? Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Blessed is the man who dwells in the house of the Lord, who dwells with God. Blessed is the man who searches for God and is on that journey. And remind yourself that there is nothing better than being with God himself.